Let the fireworks commence! For I am back from my vacation, from an undisclosed but awfully sunny location. And here I am once again, only slightly pink, ready to regale you with tales of how Hollywood really works, for that is the job of your femme fatale. Slightly charred or not, to deliver every week answers to your very real questions about what in the flaming Hades is going on out there in the world of television, movies, celebrity, gossip, maybe the occasional comic book or video game. I am your host, Leslie Gornstein. So determined am I to bring you this occult knowledge that I do it even when my regular co-host is off getting his head shaved in fun patterns. Because that's what Baby Vegas is apparently up to this week. I'm not asking you to go ahead and check his Facebook feed where I found this information, because let's not encourage him, please. But Baby Vegas is off cavorting this week and can't join me in the studio. So I am solo this week. Still, I do have a kiss for you from Andy, my first and forever co-host. In fact, I got her to help answer one of your reader questions this week, having to do with celebrity baby birthing, and we will get to that soon enough. Meanwhile, what else can I tease? Oh, some celebrity sightings. Maybe I'll pit myself against myself in a cage match to the death. We've also got some obligatory crucifying of Paula Deen, and I guarantee it's going to be brined in buttermilk, and it's going to be super crispy and delicious. But more importantly, a reader wrote in with a question having to do with actors who make it really big doing commercials, people like Flo and the Can You Hear Me Now guy. And I have your answer, starring, yay, Annie, the social media intern from those Jack in the Box commercials. But first, how about a couple celebrity sightings? Usually I pit my favorite celebrity sightings of the week against whatever sighting my co-host brings to the table. And then I pretend that it's an epic battle to the death until I just declare myself a winner, but it's just me today. So I think I shall compete against myself in a So let's see. Got a ton of good stuff this week. Here's one. Newly jobless Selma Blair. You may have heard that she's no longer working with the always pleasant to work with Charlie Sheen over at Anger Management. Apparently there was a parting of ways between her and Sheen, and it was ugly. Well, apparently she's not all that tore up over that, because she was seen this past weekend mingling at a local wine festival with her kid and some friends, just chilling, not in any way visibly disturbed to no longer ever again work with Charlie Sheen. And that surprises me not at all. Meanwhile, Charlize Theron was seen recently eating a meal with Sarah Silverman in a town out of state. I will say that, out of state, where they're shooting a movie. And I guess they're friends now, which bothers me, but I don't know why. Anyway, Charlize has this son named Jackson, like a baby she adopted last year, cute baby. But apparently it's a fussy little baby, because according to a spy I have, Charlize was trying to get this baby to eat. And despite her A-list status, apparently the baby did not get the memo that the mom is A-list, because he did not want to eat. And he was fussing and fussing. As a matter of fact, my spy was like, I said, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, how fussy was this baby? And my spy writes back, like, in I am, like, F space enter U space enter S fussy. Of course, that sighting is totally a winner. So I win. I win against myself. And that's making me a little sad. I think I need to get to the first reader question. Now, if you've ever been curious about the folks in your favorite TV commercial, you're going to want to check this out. A reader recently wrote in with a question about Flo, you know, the omnipresent checkout girl in the Progressive commercials. Her name is Stephanie Courtney, actually, and she came up through the Groundlings along with everybody else who's ever been awesome. And this reader asked essentially whether she's a millionaire yet. And I've done some research for you. Let me get that out of the way first. Let's get this out of the way. Brian Baker, who is a former Second City improv actor who played the trench coat guy in Sprint ads for 6 years, has said that the role was like hitting the lottery. Bobby Collins, a Los Angeles comedian, has said he's gotten more than $300,000 for appearing as himself in 4 Certs commercials. Now, I've also read that making a successful commercial can equal 6-figure pay. Get this. A 2007 obit for that Canadian actor Dick Wilson, who played Mr. Whipple in the hundreds of Charmin commercials. That obit said he was making $300,000 a year working just 12 days. Now, Stephanie Courtney's person did not return repeated requests for an interview, but she has said to the Wall Street Journal that, and here's an open quote, "When all is said and done, many recording sessions, many rewrites, re-records, and after they've all aired for a year, you're looking at about the starting salary of an ophthalmologist." This is what she said. All right. Now, of course, I looked it up because I don't stop there. In 2011, ophthalmologists earned a mean income of $270,000, which is slightly up from 2010. And according to another survey, ophthalmology is among the top 10 highest paid specialties. About 11% of ophthalmologists earned $500,000 or more a couple years ago. Now, minimum negotiated, you should know this, by the Screen Actors Guild, is about $600 for a day of work, plus a declining fraction in residuals as a commercial airs, okay, down to about $50-ish per showing. There are separate rate schedules you should know for a network, local, cable TV, internet, and it can add up to a healthy middle-class lifestyle. And speaking of which, I hooked up with probably the most adorable source I've ever had. I'm going to say she's probably the most adorable source I've ever had. Rachel Great. She's a producer of the new film Sugar, co-starring Shanae Grimes. But for the purpose of this interview, she's the girl in the car on the ramen noodle budget in those Allstate ad spots. And she's the fabulous actress behind social media intern Annie in those Jack in the Box ads. The result? Info that is totally Chipotle. Let's get to it. We are joined now by Rachel Great, a fabulous, fabulous commercial actress. Hello.
Hi.
You will know Rachel as the face and voice of social media intern Annie, who is just so excited to be a part of the Jack in the Box team during that ad spot. I love that so, so much. And then, of course, you're also the girl in the, I think it's the Allstate commercial, who is working on the ramen noodle budget, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Good job.
You are the girl who is driving in a car when you hear that deep voice say, "And some people are only on a ramen noodle every day budget."
That's
and
me.
Then they see you.
Yep, I'm playing with my sunglasses and smiling. This is what I do.
So how many, before we get to these questions here, let me actually get to my reader question first. Okay. This is how it works. People write it and ask me questions, you know, about how Hollywood works, and then I answer them. Here's Wyndham Earle wrote in via my blog saying, "Is Flo the TV insurance pusher later a multimillionaire yet?" Let me read that again. Wyndham Earle says, "Is Flo the TV insurance pusher lady a multimillionaire yet? I imagine that actresses earn a mint every time someone hits the mute button. How much money can TV commercial actors score from a long-running TV ad campaign like the Flo show?" Now, I know you're not friends with Flo. I know you're not a spokesperson for Flo. You're a spokesperson for Rachel Great. But I think I want you to help me answer my reader question. So I think the first question I'd want to ask you is, how many spots have you got running right now?
Right now, I have 4 commercials running, and I think 5 or 6 different spots. So, like, in the Allstate has a 30-second and a 15-second version. And then I have Jack in the Box, yay! And also a Dave and Buster's commercial.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Sweet!
I'm throwing a little football around and being just generally good at playing football. and also a Pier 1 commercial, which is great. And I've done a bunch of commercials. I got my first commercial for Disneyland when I was 5. So I've done a whole bunch of commercials that actually, I mean, I don't know how much like a sponsor like that makes, but, you know, a regular old gal like me who just does them as a living, you know, I was able to pay for all my dance classes when I was a little kid. I paid for a lot of my college, bought myself a car. Depending on the spot, obviously, and how much it runs, you can make like little money or like a lot of money. And a lot of that too is based on how much your agent can negotiate. So I don't know. It's a big question. You know,
I read that, that making a successful commercial can equal 3-figure pay. Like I heard, you know, the guy, Dick Wilson, who played Mr. Whipple in the Charmin commercials. They said that he was making $300,000 a year when he died, working just 12 days a year in 2007. So I know you're like, wow. So is it possible to, like, do you know anybody who's, like, cracked some ceiling where you're able to never have to work again if you do the right commercial?
Yeah. Yes, I do know people like that. And that's usually when you get booked on a campaign. So if you have, it's very rare for just one commercial and one spot to be able to completely sort of take you out of the auditioning and jobbing market. But if you have some sort of deal where you're doing like 12 commercials a year or 3 commercials a year or even 2 commercials a year, then definitely, absolutely. You can make yourself a pretty good living doing that, which is nice. But if you are an auditioning actor, I'm trying to organize my thoughts because there's just like so much to talk about. If you are auditioning and you even if you're able to do like even like 3 good national commercials a year, you're not a millionaire, but you have like a day job if you want extra money, but you don't necessarily need it.
So are you like in like the 6 figures, like able to like put down payment on a house kind of a lifestyle?
No, I don't think so. No, I haven't experienced like that. But again, it depends on how much it runs. Okay, so it works like this. You can book a commercial and you'll get paid a couple $100 to go on set that one day and film the commercial. And then sometimes that's it. Like I have done a lot of commercials, maybe like 2 or 3 commercials recently where we go on set, we film it, and then for whatever reason, it never makes it on TV. Either the company, they're like, oh, we're not doing this promotion anymore, or they just change campaigns completely, or, we never know. It just kind of disappears off into the ether. And that's sort of like the minimum that you'll get. Then the next level is they'll put it on cable and on the internet, where it pays a lot less, but you get paid. Hey. And then the next level up.
Well, what happens? Like every time it airs, you get like $50 or something? How does that work?
No, with that is they do a buyout. So they'll pay you for like 13 weeks worth of commercial running. Mm-hmm. And then they buy a certain unit and each one is negotiable. But, I think online, I can't remember, but it's not very much. If they like when you're watching Hulu and they just play, not to call out Hulu or anything, but when you're watching anything online, it's significantly less than if you watch it, like, say, during the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah, because then the next level up is when they play it on network TV. So those are like ABC, NBC, CBS, and those are the ones where you get paid per play. And depending on the commercial, it's a different amount.
And that can be $50 and $50 a play or whatever, right?
Yeah, depending on whatever your contract says. And there is a standard SAG contract, but each one's different. And then it depends on how long the commercial is running, too. If it's sort of like a campaign, like a, this car company's having this big summer sale, la, la, la. They might only pay you for one cycle, or like one 13-week cycle. Then you make your money, you keep going on your auditions, and you cross your fingers that you're going to book another one soon. And but then like other campaigns like, whoa, thank goodness for my Allstate commercial. Like, yay, that's been running for more than two years now.
I know. So, according to the research I did, it's aired more than 3,200 times.
Oh, my God.
I know. If that's the case, and you're getting, and that's a national commercial, right, on network television, so you're getting, like, a 2-figure sum every time that airs.
Yeah, I guess so. They mostly play that one on cable, but yeah, that one's been pretty lucrative, which is amazing. It helped me completely get out of debt, which is amazing. But like, I don't own a house or anything from it.
I don't own a house or anything. Oh boy. So now, Flo's commercial spots, each one of her spots. So that's different. That's a campaign. But each one of them has aired between 1,300 and more than 6,000 times.
Oh my God.
So what kind of lifestyle is she living?
Oh, wow. I mean, I wish I knew. It's going to be good, though. It's going to be nice.
I mean, that sounds like something where she never has to audition for anything ever again. Even after the campaign ends, you probably don't have to audition for anything ever again.
Yeah, they probably have exclusive rights to whatever. Yeah, those can pay really big. That's the gold mine. That's sort of that's like the pie, what is the gold at the end of the rainbow?
End of the rainbow. So yeah, somebody estimated that it was like at least $100,000 a year, probably much more.
I'm going to guess more if they have exclusive rights over her face, you know, because that's the thing she can't do. I mean, maybe she can, but a lot of the times when you're a spokesperson, they do it where you can't do anything else. You can't, I mean, she can't turn around and do a McDonald's commercial.
No, but she did, but she did Mad Men.
She could do Mad Men.
So you can, like, that happens. That's okay, right?
Mm-hmm. That will happen depending on stuff. Yeah, but, you know, when you're an actor, even if it doesn't seem like, if you have like 5 commercials running or 6 commercials running or whatever, and you're making a pretty good penny, chances are most of us are still auditioning, and auditioning is its own job. Like every day you have to kind of be on your A game, and your skin has to be clear and your hair has to look nice and you can't be in a bad mood. You have to just kind of always be ready at a second's notice to drive out to Santa Monica or drive to Studio City or drive to wherever your audition is and bring it and be a really good actor and really listen to what the director wants. And, you know, if you have, you know, it takes a while, but after you've been auditioning for a while, the casting people get to know you and they're like, oh, Rachel would be really good for this, so I'm going to bring her in. Or, you know, oh, I know the intern Annie girl, so I bring her in for that. And it becomes its own job, you know, acting, auditioning. It doesn't feel necessarily like a job because it's so much fun, and a lot of jobs can be kind of a drag, but it definitely is. It's a whole life. It's a whole lifestyle.
I was gonna say, like, you've got 4 commercials airing right now and you're still out auditioning. How often a week?
You know, it depends on the month. It can be really busy where you're going to 3 or 4 auditions a day.
Jeez.
And that gets really stressful, but you know, it's part of the skill of being able to kind of leave your stress at the door and walk in and be like, all right, what do you need me to do? What do I have to do here? It's like, yeah. Or so you can have sometimes more. Oh gosh, I remember sometimes I'll have 5 or 6 auditions in a day and they're all over Los Angeles. I remember not too long ago I put 150 miles on my car in one day.
Yikes. Here's another number for you.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that the guy who is the voice of those babies in the E-Trade commercials,
yeah,
has made like $300,000 from doing like 5 of them or something, just being the voice of the baby.
That's great. Good for him. That sounds right.
Does that sound about right?
To be fair, I mean, that sounds, your voice or your face, because that's what they pay you for. You know, this is your face. Your business is your face or your voice. And once your face or your voice gets trademarked to a company, it's really hard to get another job after that. So they're kind of doing like a buyout of your
brand.
Face.
Yeah.
Oh, of your brand. Because that's what we have when we're actors. We have our faces and our voices and the way that we do things. So, yeah, if you can be, yeah. So that completely makes sense to me. That doesn't
now, when
sound.
The Allstate commercial, you don't speak, right?
No.
You speak in the other commercials. But so does that affect pay as well?
No, it doesn't. If it's, no, I mean, no, which is awesome. So, you know, I've done a whole bunch of commercials, actually. And a lot of my friends, we always make a joke. Like, one of my friends has done like 10 national commercials in the last 2 years. And he's always like, one day I'll speak in a commercial. One day. Have a line, but it doesn't. No, they don't penalize you. If your face is recognizable, then you get paid the same as if you're like intern Annie and you're just talking a lot.
So how many national commercials have you done in your young life?
Oh gosh, I don't even know. A lot. I should have gone through and counted before, but I'd say more than 30.
More than 30 national commercials you've done.
At least.
You're in your 20s, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Look at you.
Look at me.
Look at you. So is there anything you want me to pimp for you? Because I can pimp to my listeners. What do you want them to pay attention to?
So a film that I'm an executive producer on, it's called Sugar. And we just screened before members of Congress in Washington, D.C.
No.
We just won an award. Oh, gosh, I wrote it down. Where is it? At the Manhattan Film Festival this last weekend. It's called Sugar. It stars Shanae Grimes, who's on
Netflix. Oh, sure.
Yeah, and Corbin Blue, and a few other fantastic, amazing people. Sugar. I'm like looking
look at
up
you, like looking up your own project. So are you in it? Are you a producer?
No, this one I'm just one of the producers on it. It was one of those things where it's like, I was doing a bunch of other stuff and blah blah blah. And it's a great film. It's about youth homelessness in Well, basically all over America, but specifically this story is about youth homelessness in Venice, California.
And where can people find out more about it?
We have, let's see, it's thesugarfilm.com, I think. Yeah, we have a Facebook page, so if you Facebook the Sugar Film, we put all of our information on there, constantly being updated with pictures and stories about the film. Also, we have an Indiegogo. It's called the Sugar Film Project, Making Life a Little Sweeter for Homeless Youth. And we have a whole spiel on there, a little video, and we're working with the charity My Friend's Place. Mm-hmm. So they're committed to, you know, helping people get off the street. Young people having, you know, somewhere where you can go.
Rachel, great. Thank you so much for taking all this time to talk to me. And best of luck with the Sugar Project, and best of luck with your life as a commercial actress.
Woo, thank you.
And we're back. Time for the next question. This is a good one. I liked this one, especially because I got a really good source to go along with it. Kristen H. via Facebook writes to me, was baby Northwest actually 5 weeks premature? I would like to hear from your former bitchling Andy about this with her own new mommy status of a preemie. If the baby of Kim Kardashian and Kanye West was that early, would she really have been released from the hospital already? So I found out. First of all, you should know that gestation, depending on whom you talk to, is 37 to 42 weeks. It all depends on some crazy doctor crap. Anyway, Andy, I got her on the blower, and she helped me out. This is what she said, and I can hear her saying this. Okay, so technically, a baby is fully cooked at 36 weeks. The last thing to fully develop are the lungs. So when babies are born before 36 weeks, a la Northy, the lungs are the doctor's biggest concern. So if the lungs are doing their job and everything else looks good, the baby is free to leave Cedars in a motorcade of blacked out SUVs. Andy says, I went into labor at 35 and a half weeks with Julian, and we went home from the hospital, also Cedars, after two nights. As a side note, this is awesome. The nursery at Cedars, which is where basically all the celebrities give birth, including Kim Kardashian, has the shades drawn 24/7 at the nursery. So if you want to go ogle your baby, she says, by tapping on the window and making funny faces at it, a nurse has to come lift up the shade that is directly in front of your baby and your baby only. Why? Because so many Northwests are born at Cedars that they need baby privacy. So they protect babies from other parents turned paparazzi at Cedars Nursery. That is how popular this place is with celebrity moms. As for what happened when North went home, I'm reading reports that the new parents left Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in L.A. after a week. So maybe there was some additional work they wanted to do with North's lungs. Maybe there was another complication. I have a feeling that as soon as some magazine forks out the appropriate amount of money to Kim, we'll find out precisely what happened, but not a second before. And now I think it's time for the final question. It is your promised Paula Deen crucifixion question, because why avoid piling on? The question from Chad's World via Twitter. Do you think Paula Deen was advised to come clean about her word choices? I would think that her people would tell her to deny. Now, for those of you not following at home, for those of you who are not fans of crispy, buttery bigotry, you should know this. Paula Deen has been accused of using the N-word at some time in the past and possibly currently, depending on whom you believe and when. Deen is being sued by a former employee at one of her restaurants who says that Deen has not only used the N-word but basically been a bigot in various ways, shapes, and forms. And a deposition was recently leaked from Deen in which Deen admits to having used the N-word in the past. Now, I asked a crisis PR person about what Deen should have done, and Chad's World, I'm just going to say that you're pretty much, with love, you're pretty much wrong. It's easier to get away with doing something offensive if you come clean and apologize and move on versus doing something offensive, lying about that offense, and then trying to recover. The perfect example of this right now is Lance Armstrong. He's done. Done, because he lied. If he years ago had admitted doping, begged for forgiveness, and then gone clean, today he'd be totally fine. He's not fine. Now, I spoke with Elizabeth Lampert for this question. She's done crisis PR work for some names you would definitely recognize. And she signs off on what I'm saying. She says, no, quote, It would not have been easier to deny it. Anyone could have taped it or had proof she said it, and her road to recovery would have been much longer. Her loyal fan base would feel betrayed. People can tolerate extreme behavior, but for the most part, they don't like liars. In a crisis situation, the number one thing to do is to admit your mistake. Close quote. Now, I just want to drill down on that. Let me make this perfectly clear. People will forgive bigotry. They will forgive a dude using a dashboard as a brickbat against Rihanna's face. They will forgive multiple cheatings on a hot Swedish golf wife. But if you lie about it, that's a no-no. Now, part of the reason why Dean keeps getting fired from stuff right now is because of the perception, right or wrong, not that she's a bigot, but that she's lying about being a bigot. That's because she appeared on the Today Show and basically said, no, I haven't used the N-word in so long. But people keep coming out saying to tabloids and other places, no, that's not true. She's a currently active bigot, a fresh bigot, not a dried up old bigot. I hope that answers your question. You know it does. Next week, I'm going to tease to next week. One of you wrote in asking about a company that's apparently suing all the big podcasters and what that means for this here podcast. I am digging into that for you, but fret not. I am not going anywhere in the meantime. No company can scare me. Nobody can get rid of me. Don't worry about it. In fact, if you've got a question about how Hollywood really works, I would love to hear from you. You can write to me via email at leslie@thefamefatale.com. You can visit me on Facebook by searching for The Fame Fatale. You can tweet me at Fame Fatale Says. Of course, you can always go to my blog 24/7, which I'm updating as often as I possibly can, www.thefamefatale.com. Baby Vegas will be joining me once again next week. Don't say I didn't warn you. Talk to you soon.